ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदायो नमो नमः। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोविष्ठम् स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामैहं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। नमो ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामीन इति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत श्री राधा कांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10
chapter 28, Krishna rescues Nanda Maharaj. Text number 3. Chukrusustam apasyantaha Krishna Rameti Gopakaha Bhagavamstad Upasrutya Pitaram Varunahrutam Tadantikam Gato Rajan Swanam Abhaya Dobibhu Chukrushustam Apasyanta Krishna Rameti Gopakaha Bhagavamstad Upasrutya Pitaram Varunahrutam Tadantikam Gato Rajan Swanam Abhaya Dobibhu Chukrusustam Apasyantaha Krishna Rameti Gopakaha Bhagavamstad Upasrutya Pitaram Varunahrutam Tadantikam Gato Rajan Swanam Abhaya Dobibhu Matajis. Chukrusuhu, they called out loudly, Tam, him, Nanda, Apasyantaha, not seeing, Krishna, O Krishna, Rama, O Rama, Iti, thus, Gopakaha, the cowherd men, Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Tat that upasrutya hearing pitaram his father varuna why varuna ahurtam taken away tat of varuna antikam to the presence gataha went, Rajan, my dear King Parikshit, Swanam of his own devotees, Abhaya of fearlessness, Daha the giver, Vibhu the Almighty Lord. Translation and purport by humble servants of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O King, not seeing Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men loudly cried out, O Krishna, O Rama. Lord Krishna heard their cries and understood that his father had been captured by Varuna. Therefore, the Almighty Lord, who makes his devotees fearless, went to the court of Varunadev. Purport. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that when Nanda Maharaj went to bathe in the river, he was accompanied by several cowherd men. When Nanda did not come out of the water, they began to cry out. And Lord Krishna immediately came there. Understanding the situation, Sri Krishna entered the water and went to the court of demigod Varun, determined to free his father and other cowherd men from fear of a mere demigod. Hare Krishna. So with humble blessings of all the Vaishnavas, assembled Vaishnavas, I'd like to speak a little bit on this 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna rescues Nanda Maharaj. Discussing verse number 3 today. So this chapter comes after the episode of Govardhan Puja and Krishna humbles Lord of Heaven, Indra. So immediately after Indra committed one mistake, before that Lord Brahma also, he got disillusioned and tried to test Krishna. And it seems here another mistake was committed by another demigod. So there is a saying in English that to err is human, but we also see to err is also demigod. Demigod is sometimes called mistakes, although they are not supposed to. But in material conditions, people do commit mistakes. Of course, later Varunadev says, it was committed by one of my servant. He made a mistake and picked Nanda Maharaj, not knowing who is he and what he was doing. So, but then he says it is my mistake. As a proper leader, he was asking forgiveness on behalf of his servant, saying that I am responsible. Later that things come in this chapter. But I was just thinking, as soon as Krishna appears in Varuna, in the court of Varunadev, in his kingdom, in his abode, Varunadev immediately gets up from his seat and immediately starts worshipping Krishna, instantly, feeling great fortune and enthusiasm within his heart. Later he asks forgiveness. I was just thinking, because Indra had just committed so much of a mistake, you know, trying to put so much of water and trying to drown entire Vrindavan. And naturally, water was part of the cloud, so Varunadev must be also witnessing that thing, kind of. So he knew who Krishna is. So as soon as Krishna came, immediately started worshipping. He was not making a mistake. He's a small young boy from a cowherd community and not making that mistake. He was actually worshipping. He would be worshipping in future of this verse. So, in this verse it is said that when cowherd men did not see Nanda Maharaj, who went to take bath in Yamuna, suddenly he disappears. And not finding him, they started crying out, O Krishna, O Rama. And Chakravarti Thakur Father actually says, further elaborating on this purport, he says, actually Krishna was seeing in a far off place. He is sleeping in a far off place. Because Nanda Maharaj, Krishna did not, Nanda Maharaj came to break his fast, Ekadasi. That day it was Ekadasi, was like some just 18 hours tithi. It was passing by. So before the proper, you know, that breaking, fast breaking time comes, he wanted to take a bath. So in the middle of the night he went to take a bath, which was not auspicious according to otherwise systems. That is not the right time to enter water. But because he had to break the fast and he was following it properly, that exception was there. So now we may think, why Krishna has to observe Ekadasi? He doesn't have to observe Ekadasi, like he is the Supreme Lord. And actually he was not there to take bath. And Chakravarti Thakur Pad explains that he was taking rest far away in a flower bed. But it is explained here by Sukadeva Goswami that when they cried out Krishna Rama, Lord Krishna heard their cries and understood that his father had been captured. As if he was right there. You know, it appears that as if he was there. He also went to take bath. It looks like from the verse. But he was not there, but he was also there, Chakravarti Thakur Pad explains, because Krishna is actually everywhere in one sense. And he could immediately understand the problem is there. And instantly appeared also there. Not only appeared, he disappeared also. He also entered water and disappeared. So in one sense, all these things are described in Bhagavatam in a very matter-of-fact way. That Nanda Maharaj went and Krishna also went to Varuna Lok. And it is very difficult for modern students and people to understand and appreciate this. Recently in our Govardhan Eco Village farm, we are discussing 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And there, the description of the universe is very elaborate, very beautiful description. Not like what we see, some blinks of lights in the night and wondering what it is. But if you study the creation or the structure of the universe in Bhagavatam, it describes very beautifully many places. Now, there are even places surrounding this earth planet, many beautiful places. But in one sense, we don't have the access to that place. So how to understand and appreciate such thing is possibility for a modern student and modern people who are studying in different school and colleges, very difficult to appreciate. So many of Prabhupada's disciples were trying to explain that. And sometime back, actually, I saw a small video by a very famous scientist and author on scientific journals and scientific writings and making movies on scientific themes. His name is Carl Sagan. Most of you must have heard his name. Very popular in America. In the 70s and 80s, he made a lot of writings. And he was trying to explain something called perceiving the fourth dimension. Perceiving the fourth dimension. And in that he was explaining that there was a author during Shakespeare time, just a fiction writer, and he was describing something about a flat land and flat creatures. Everything is flat there. Like in this world also we see there are different kind of living entities who have lesser knowledge about dimensions. Just like bacteria, if you take, they grow on one point. Their life begins and ends at one point. Zero dimension. Their life is not more than that. It just begins and ends there. And the other end is like ants, they always move in straight lines, you know. Ants, have you seen? So there is a food here, they may go like this and come like this and come like this, you know. They move in lines. So their life is kind of restricted to one dimension. And other reptiles, they move in planes. And the birds, and people like us, we move in three dimensions. So he was speaking about a flat land, means absolutely flat. And flat creatures, that means they are also absolutely flat. They can look forward, backward and sideways, but they cannot see up or down. Up or down doesn't exist for them. And their houses are also flat, with flat walls. There is no up walls and the side walls. And somebody enters a house, close the gate. you know. But in another entity, he was giving, taking for example an apple, which is a 3D object. Apple hovers around that house, and he can see what is happening inside the house without entering the house. And that apple says hello to that flat creature in the flat house. Now, this creature in the flat house is looking around all over. No one was there. But he is hearing a voice. So, for a moment, he thinks the voice is coming from within. You know, kind of. So, then the apple doesn't like that kind of thing. He decides to descend in the house. So, suddenly, he appears in front of that flat creature from nowhere, because he doesn't know what is up and down. It is coming from the upside, right? So for the flat creature, it was like a mystic feat happening in front of him. And surprised, shocked and everything. Then what this apple does, the 3D creature, he takes the flat creature, whatever it is, and takes him to three dimension. And that person also sees all the things, the homes, the people moving around, the traffic and everything he sees. And suddenly he leaves him in the middle of the road. And people around him, they see him, one of their fellow creatures, suddenly appears out of nowhere. They come, they scurry to him and say, "Are, what happened? Where are you coming? I am coming from third dimension." He says, what is third dimension? You are an illusion or something like that. Show us or point us, where is that third dimension? Then he couldn't help it. He said, "I can't show it to you. Because they are trapped in this flat land." Then similarly he says, the Carl Sagan continues, "Similarly, what about considering a fourth dimension?" Then he says, "You and I, we all are trapped in this three dimension. Therefore I cannot point you, where is that fourth dimension? I cannot point to you, where is the fourth dimension? But just like a 3D object can have a shadow on a two dimension, similarly, but when you put an object and look at its shadow on a two dimension, you see the object will have a different shape. Because one dimension is lost, the price is that you get another kind of vision. It is not a clear vision. So you are saying, what about a fourth dimension? So what is the, why I am speaking this? Because these flat creatures, if they would have access to three dimension, they can do miracles. Or what they are doing in a normal course would have appeared miracle. Similarly, if I have access to the fourth, fifth, sixth, there is a 10 direction, 11 directions, there is mentioned in scripture, so many dimensions. If you have access, we can reach places which we can't even see, although they exist right next to us. So this is a modern understanding, nothing to do with Bhagavatam. Here Krishna or our Nanda Maharaj was captured by one of the servant of Varunadev. He's like the apple. He's coming from another dimension, captures him, and because he is in that dimension, he has the ability to pull him to another place and show him another place. He has that ability. I wouldn't have it. He has that ability. But Krishna is, of course, the Supreme Lord of all dimensions. He could easily understand what is happening. And immediately he reaches that spot and brings back Nanda Maharaj. But in the process, what happens? Nanda Maharaj is already amazed, seeing Varun Lok was beautiful. There's something out of this world. I mean, it was extremely decorative and the concepts were something very new to him. The interiors and all those things. So, what amazed him much more was that Varundev worshipping Krishna. That was even more amazing because he thought he is my son. Even he lifted Govardhan by that time, they are all wondering what is this Krishna and everything. But when he saw Varuna worshipping Krishna, then he understood he must be the Supreme Lord. And when he returns back, it is explained very few verses in this chapter, but beautiful chapter actually. And he explained that Nanda Maharaj started sharing his experiences with other cowherd in that village, Vrindavan. And when they heard, they all got amazed. They started thinking, if Krishna is that Supreme Lord, will he take us to his own spiritual abode? The thought that come in their mind. Like we always speak about going back home, back to Godhead. Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita also. Natadvasayate shuryo nasasanka napavaka yatkatvana nivartate tadhama paramam mama. That I have a special spiritual abode. What is the speciality? Natadvasayate shuryo. That place, that abode does not require a sun. Now without sun we cannot think of life in this creation. So Krishna says no sun, no moon. That means it's a very different kind of abode. He says tad dhama paramam mama. That this abode is actually my supreme abode. Or one of my, this is my best of all abodes. It is explained that every part of the creation is actually Krishna's creation, isn't it? Sometime we, the story is like this. One is this, Akbar and Birbal were sitting, and Birbal was saying, in a flattery, that was his service, to flatter and make the king happy. He said, actually, you know, you are superior than God. You are greater than God. But for Akbar, who was like an Islamic person, they would always chant, Allahu Akbar, that means God is greatest. God is great. So to tell him that you are greater than God is actually an offense to Allah. So he was very upset with that. He said, how can you say like this? How can you say I am greater than God? You have to prove, otherwise you lose your life. Then he said, of course I can prove. Then how? Prove it. Then he says, you see, you have a right and you have a power to throw anyone of citizen of your country outside your country. You can remove any one of them. You have that power? He said, yes, of course I have that power. But he said, God does not have that power. He said, how? Because everywhere is his kingdom. Where will you throw? Not possible. So everywhere is God's kingdom basically. But he said, amongst all those kingdoms, my abode, where there is no sun and moon, is very superior and fantastic. That is my abode. Tad dhama paramam mama. That is my param abode. Best of all abodes. So the Brajabasis, when they understand that he is that Supreme Lord, they wanted to think, that supreme destination, can we achieve it? Now something wonderful happens again. So, Shripad Jiva Goswami, it is explained in the purports of this book very nicely, that he explains that how the Brajavasis perceived Krishna. He was the Supreme Lord. There are two ways to understand somebody is God. One is that a supreme controller, and he is like controlling everything. And there is a fear that is created within the heart. And another is, you actually love him so much that you forget that he is controller. You know, so one creates kind of fear, and then people obey out of fear. If you do this, yeah, if you don't do like this, then you will be going to hell and things like that. That is like creating fear and making obey to the laws of the law and God. That is a very primitive and very beginning stage. It explains something like policeman, when a thief sees a policeman, he sees him as a controller. Right? He sees him as a controller who can actually capture and put him in jail if he finds him doing something wrong. So he perceives him as a controller. But a well-abiding citizen sees the policeman as a friend. Right? And because he sees him as a friend, therefore he is able to focus on that friendly qualities of this person and glorifies him. Similarly, those who have sinful tendencies within their heart, they always see Krishna as a controlling factor and get afraid of him. But those who are naturally following and seeing the advantage and enthusiastic about following these principles of scriptures, they are able to focus on the beautiful aspect of Lord Krishna. They can see the greatness and the beauty of the Lord. They can see and focus it, because that controlling factor is not obstructing them anymore. And such people can actually experience all these pastimes of the Supreme Lord in a very nice way. So, the Brajavasis, it's a fact that they were not bothered by the controlling factor of Krishna. They rather would focus on him, the beautiful aspect of that personality, Krishna. So now, Jiva Goswami Pada explains that because something went wrong. Something went wrong. Because they were able to focus on beautiful aspect of Krishna, not that they forgot that he is the controller also. Because throughout the pastimes, throughout the leelas of Lord Krishna, the Brajavasis would remember that he is God many times. They were aware that he is God. But becoming that hour of being a god would not obstruct their love for him. It's not that their sentimental attachment. They were aware of his god. That controlling factor would not obstruct them. So therefore, whereas others are afraid or moved by fear, but actually Krishna appears to remove the fear from our heart. That's his one of main purpose, is to remove the fear from our heart. Therefore, he displaces varieties of beautiful pastimes to convince us that we don't have to fear. Rather, we have to focus on his beautiful aspect and love him. So, therefore, here it is said, the Almighty Lord, who makes his devotees fearless, went to the court of Varuna Lok, of here. So, that is the point, basically. The best thing that Lord wants to offer is abhaya. So if you see in Gita also, Krishna says atrayate mahato bhayat, that one who renders devotional service to Krishna in a very systematic and disciplined way, then he says atrayate mahato bhayat. Now atrayate means being liberated, basically. So one will be freed from mahatvaya, the greatest of all fears. The greatest of all fears is basically a death. Hare Krishna. Shraddha Gopinath ji ki jai. Jaldi bande. So trayate mahatvaya. So that everybody in this world is basically afflicted by fear. In so many ways. In animal society, it is very prominent. They are always fear. They are so much fearful, therefore, probably they are not able to laugh and smile, isn't it? You can't see any animals laughing and smiling anytime. They are always afraid. In a fearful situation, how can you feel, experience bliss and happiness? Just entire life is wasted like that. In a similar human life also, although we are advanced and able to speak and hear, languages are there, expressions are there, interactions are there, there is smile and laughter exchange are there, but even within that, the fear is there always. So many fears surrounds our life. So if we come to Krishna, like Lord Ramchandra says, that one who says even once that, O Lord, I am yours. Just once. Even if one says it in a kind of spot of a moment, and some feeling comes and says, Lord, I am yours, then probably he is not able to keep it later. It doesn't matter. Even if he says once, the Lord says, then he says, I am going to take full care. I will give him abhaya. Abhaya means he will have no fear. So that's what devotees are. Therefore, they can go to any extent and serve the Lord because they don't have any fear. So, in the one hand, we can try to understand these pastimes by understanding this dimension and all this stuff. But for people who has an implicit faith in the scriptures and the sadhus who speak them, for them they don't have to rely on such explanation to accept things, isn't it? This faith is something very important in life. Nowadays the world is a world of doubts. You know, there is always doubts. When you are dealing with people, we should understand they are not like computers, which requires passwords. You know, computer like in doubt. The computer even doubts its own administrator. Password chahiye pehla. A password when you put, then it says, okay, now you are welcome. Doubt everything, everyone, every move, every keystroke, doubt. So that's not a good life, where you know you're surrounded by doubts. That is also a loss of happiness. There has to be faith in each other, in people, in scriptures, in God's words. There has to be faith. That faith actually is the beginning of life, human life. So in India, traditionally, it used to be like very much strong understanding and faith in the words of the sadhus. And here it is explained that he goes to Varuna Loka and brings his father back. And later, when the Brajabasi wants to understand in the heart, they're thinking whether we can reach the supreme destination of Golok Vrindavan, then Krishna actually makes them see that abode. Again, he knows how to sow it. Unless somebody is really spiritually acclaimed, we cannot show the spiritual world to each other. We cannot point it because we are trapped. So that verse which he speaks in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, that I have a supreme abode, not only says that, which he said later, but previously actually sold it to his people in Vrindavan. He also sold it to Akrur. So therefore, all these things he has done to increase that faith, but again we have to just hear and accept. So to people who are too much used to this modern style lifestyle, for them to agree and accept is difficult because of that conditionings. But otherwise, you know, people especially who is brought up in India, it's not very big deal, because there are so many mystic yogis moving around showing so many mystic fits, isn't it? Srila Prabhupada says, when he was a small boy, one yogi came to their house begging alms. And his father gave him a good alm. The yogi was very happy. He asked Prabhupada, when a small boy, said, "What do you want? Whatever you want, I can give you." So he said, "Okay, I want a pomegranate from Afghanistan, because Afghan pomegranates are very juicy and famous." And immediately sadhu takes his hands like this, moves it and brings it back, then there was a pomegranate, ripe Afghan pomegranate. And Prabhupada says, this is called Prapti Siddhi. Some years back, His Grace Paramahamsa Prabhu was giving a class here. And he was preaching in Nasik those days. He said, in Nasik one yogi came. And he had this also Prapti Siddhi. So he was moving his hands and getting golden chain, golden rings and showing it to people. But then suddenly they found out that nearby the jewelry shops, things are getting vanished. So he had that Prapti Shakti he was taking. But they cannot create things. But then there is also so many things like that happening. In India it happens. So I was reading this Journey Home by Radhanath Swami Maharaj. There he writes, because he was moving in Himalayas. And even today, we think these are all something, you know, You can hear so many people and we may not know whether it is right or wrong. It may be some magic trick or something like that, who knows. But when you hear from an authentic person who has actually strived to progress spiritual in a spiritual life, and when you hear instances from him, then it makes us understand that such things are actually there. It is not that everybody of us witness such things. But when you hear a person like Ramana Swami Maharaj speaking, it makes a lot of sense. Like he says, he was in some Himalayan foothills. And he met some yogi who was in his early 40s, but very restless person. Yogis are normally not supposed to be restless, you know. They're supposed to be composed, calm, peaceful. He's a little restless. And when he go and begging alms, he would demand sweets. He would demand sweets in alms. But when he would sit back to do his yogic things, he would be very serious. And very fixed, determined sadhana. That would charm Maharaj. He's such a multifaceted person, like entertaining for him. So he decided to stay with him for a few days. After that he decided now he was feeling that I should move further into the forest to intensify his search. Then this man requested, please stay for one night. I have got a program. I am going to give lecture to villagers. Please stay back for that. Then Maharaj said, no, I want to move now. I don't want to go to the crowd and meet them. I want to be in a seclusion. Things like that. Then he said, no, please, please, please. So he just insisted more and more and more. Then Maharaj said, okay, I'll stay one more. And then there was a dais, a stage. He was sitting and Maharaj sitting next on a chair. And suddenly he rises. And he shows the bare hand to everyone. Then closes it and opens it. There was a Sivalingam. Stone. Then Maharaj said, as far as I saw, it was not a magic trick. It was actually a yogic feat. Because he was right there next to him. And then again he puts that lingam on the stage, throws his hands in the air and brings it and does like this. Ashes come out of his hand non-stop flow, like a river. And covers the entire, pura abhishek ho jata hai, covers the entire lingam. Then people would immediately rush to him to take his dust and things like that. Then he moved back and started speaking. He said, actually, these are all yogic art. There's nothing spiritual. He said, then he threw his hand again, some ashes came out like in the air. It was like, came out some ashes. He said, I can create ash, but God can create universes. Don't confuse that I am God. He started speaking like that. And then Maharaj was appreciating that this person is so honest that he showed these mystic powers, but make people aware that this is actually not spiritual. And then Maharaj also understood that if I go to some teacher like that who knows these feats, probably I would have learned few. But then understand that it is not necessary to progress in spiritual life, he moved ahead. But whom he met a bunch of Nagababas. Again, these Nagababas, they are wearing red kopins and all body covered with ashes. Some are actually fully naked, matted hair. And Maharaj seeing them thought, I should spend some days with them also. And they said, okay, come. And then they put up some fire, sitting around and started smoking ganja. And they offered Maharaj also. Maharaj said, no, I have taken a vow long back in Afghanistan that I will not take any intoxications. They became very offended. They said, this is Mahaprasad of Lord Shiva, how can you say no? But he was like insisting, no, I have already taken vows. Then one of the leader, he said, okay, let us respect him in that way. Then another person started putting more and more wood fire into that fire and increasing its flame. And for a moment Maharaj thought, probably they are going to put me in that fire. Because he was saying no to that. But then to his surprise, they put a pot and started cooking khichdi. Some prasad. Then offered some to the fire. Then everybody sat and took some dinner. And the next day morning, Maharaj woke up and took his bath in a river, nearby river, chilling cold, because it's Himalayan forest in, you know, winter time almost. So he took his bath and came out. Then he saw some people are starting a fire again for the next day course. Another person sitting next to fire, he levitated it like 3-4 feet above the ground. The Maharaj saw, he said pinching himself, what he is saying is dream or it is true? He took a bath in a chilling cold water before that, and he was totally awake actually. Then again he saw another person also levitating, like gradually. Then he was surprised that all other Nagababas, they are going about their duties as if nothing is happening around. For them, it's a daily course of life. Some will meditate, and somebody will work, collect goods, things like that. So what appears us to be mystic is actually because we have no experience or practice. But there are people who are doing it in a matter of course. And those who progress, they can actually see whatever states in Shastra, they are not very surprising or difficult to accept. So, in that whole episode, then Maharaj concludes that actually, this mysticism is one thing, but this is not actually spiritual. Spiritual means actually bringing God back into our life, getting connected to Him through devotion. So that's how this is, these verses actually, sometimes appear a little bewildering, but during all these past times, many things are happening, and we can see in the end of the day how the Brajabasis are amazed and getting more attached to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki. Are there any questions or comments? Any questions or comments?